to the nation's top authors?
Those are great questions. It always makes for a better interview, for at least for the author, when the interviewer has actually read the book.
You're such a good interviewer. My gosh, you really made me think. You really read the book. Yeah.
No other interviewer has really gotten into that. You really brought out some really great points.
Greg Berg holds the morning show weekdays after the 8 o'clock news, only on WGTD. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, and our topic today is Kenosha Rising with the Arts. My guests today are Francisco Loyola, who is an arts entrepreneur and one of our great arts advocates. I'd call him the arts mayor of Kenosha, but that's just me talking. And Bob Schneider. Bob Schneider is the executive director of the Kenosha Community Foundation. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Len.
Last Thursday, I was with both of you at a really extraordinary event, and we're going to report about that because it's newsworthy and really important to the future of Kenosha and our quality of life here. And that was the Kenosha Rising event that was held downtown at Kenosha Fusion, which was really a terrific performance space, by the way. I hadn't been in there, and I was very impressed. And there's a lot of news from Thursday night. We had an arts community conversation. Francisco, who was involved in bringing that group together?
The conversation is sponsored by the Kenosha Community Foundation, but it's in a partnership with the City of Kenosha Commission on the Arts. Expose Kenosha is the organization grassroots movement website where I got my volunteers to work together, and the UW Extension. So those were the partners on the project.
So a very high-powered local group of civic leaders and experts and people in the creative community, writers, artists, painters, sculptors, all sorts of craft people. Now, last Thursday night, there were two experts. We had two experts. One was from out of town, so he was really an expert. Milwaukee's chief idea officer,
that's right,
Jeremy Fougette, and our local Amy Grail, who is with the UW Extension, which provides a lot of great services to for-profit and not-for-profit businesses here in the county. Now, this was really a very important set of data that we got last night. There were a lot of people there. How many people did you get to this event, Bob?
Well, I think the place was full, and we had seating for about 75, so it was overflow capacity. So I think we had close to 80, 85 people there.
I would say so. I would say at least that. Now, it was a variety of people you invited, wasn't it? I was impressed with the quality of the leadership there that came from across the community. We had people from the Arts Commission of the community. Lou Molitor was there, who also doubles as the head of our Chamber of Commerce.
Right. There were board members from the Community Foundation attended. Joan Wilk was there, and Vic Weiler was there, and we had a good group of people who not only were creative people themselves, but people who were involved in promoting the creative arts and things in the Kenosha community.
If I can mention, I believe that the City of Kenosha Commission on the Arts was established as a way to connect the artists and the creative community with the rest of the institutions, the business community, and the universities. As by decree, the City of Kenosha Commission on the Arts needs to have a representative from CABA, the Chamber of Commerce, Parsi, KUSD, Carthage College, and members at large of the community. I believe that what is establishing is this connection and to see how we can work together to make the arts an important economic development factor in the city and the economy.
We're seeing the wisdom of putting together that arts commission with a diverse cross-section of the community and bringing the business community in with it, because the business community uses the arts and creative community extensively in many ways, internally and externally. And, of course, we're going to learn in a little bit what a big business the creative community is here.
Exactly.
Now, organization has also done something besides the data, which we'll talk about in a bit, a creatives survey as to what is needed. So a lot of artists and people who are dance writers, were asked. You had about 180 responses to this, right?
Well, 145, I believe. I don't remember the exact number, and I forgot my notes. Sorry about that. Yeah, but the idea was to involve the community to have the responses and set up a baseline for the future. Our goal was to have like a state of the arts in the Kenosha County, reflecting the economic impact of the arts and the needs of the community and the artists. So the idea was not only have data, but steps for the future. That was the goal that we put together this project.
And you came up with those. There are several here, about six really important questions, and we'll come to those a little later in the program. And what we learned when we had some group discussions then on Thursday night about how to answer these questions. I think what's been impressive to me, Bob, about this program, as we've been seeing it unfold here in Kenosha, is that it's been a model of community involvement from the very beginning. We haven't invited someone in to write a report based on what they've seen in other communities and just leave it here. This is very organic. It's very grassroots. And from the very beginning, it seems as though you've thought, both of you and the others involved on the Arts Commission, very intentionally that you're going to structure it so that we don't end up writing reports, but that we end up taking action steps. Do you want to comment about how that's supposed to unfold in your point of view as the director of the Community Foundation, Bob?
Yeah, well, of course, the survey was done by the University of Wisconsin Extension Center. That's where Amy Grill works. But, I mean, our involvement was basically at two levels. I mean, number one, this last week was what we call National Community Foundation Week. You know, so our sponsorship of this event and the survey that went with it was kind of our gift to the community, you know, in celebration of the National Community Foundation Week. So
that's great.
And secondly, you know, we have an arts fund that's a component fund of the community fund that did the, you know, we've just did the third edition of the Harbor Park Sculpture Walk, which went in September. So we have the foundation's always had a keen interest in the arts, and I personally have. And so we were happy to be involved in this. And when Francisco asked us to, get involved, we jumped at the chance. I think, the foundation is interested, you know, not only in promoting and educating the community as the importance of arts, but it's an economic issue as well, as some of that data you have there indicates that artists do produce economic expansion for communities, and to promote them and to support them is important to the community and to our economy overall.
That's right, and congratulations on Community Foundation Week. Community foundations are very near and dear to my heart as a donor and as a fundraiser. They play an important role in our communities, and they are a great way to make gifts philanthropically that are exceptionally well managed and can go on being made by your representatives at the foundation, so to speak, after you've passed, as a legacy to your home community. Maybe we'll take a chance to talk about that later. But thank you for the role that the foundation plays in the community, Bob. Now, let's dive into this a little bit. This has been a lot of fun talking about the big news that happened Thursday night, but even bigger news is buried in some of this data. So we're going to try to present it in a way that's understandable, and not all of it. You can see all of it, though, if you want it, online, KenoshaRising.com.
That's correct.
Kenosha Rising, all solid together, KenoshaRising.com is the Kenosha Rising website. It has the data from the survey, and you can get more information or request information and get involved by filling out the contact form on that site.
That's correct.
It's all available. The first thing I wanted to talk about is the classifications of creative enterprise here, because I think even I, as a writer, and I don't write fiction, I write nonfiction, but I do it in a creative way. That
some people call it fiction.
I try to do it in a creative way that people will pay me for, but we often don't think about sort of the things that really are included. And so I want to just rattle off these categories. You want to go through them for us, Francisco, the categories that we saw of people in the survey?
That would be really good.
Bob?
Well, it's the if you're looking at the response, the classification of the people who respond, we found that 55% of the responding people were engaged in the visual arts and crafts, which you know, I suppose makes sense. I mean, that's a pretty big category. The second most important category were musicians. And I think if anybody's been around Kenosha the last few years, you realize that we have a tremendously growing musical groups in Kenosha.
Yes.
And Fusion plays a big part of that. And then, of course, the design and communications people, that's the people who do marketing and do design work for, you know, marketing programs, Dooley and Associates, people like that. Photography was an important, and, of course, the theater, and I think anybody who's been out to the Parkside who has seen that costume or, you know, their program out there will know that the theater plays a big part in both our universities. And so those are the main categories, and, of course, there are these were the main categories of the we tried to get people to respond and to define themselves, I guess, in mm-hmm. one or more of these categories so we could – we could understand just what they were representing.
There were a sprinkling of others, literature, media and film, and cultural heritage, which would be librarians, curators, conservators of historical documents. Some of the others that responded to your survey were publishers, people in radio, museums, arts education, owners of galleries, multimedia education, architecture, grant-making, creative writing and poetry and readers' theater. Well, interestingly enough, for your survey work, you found that your respondents were 55% in the visual arts and crafts, 27% in music, and 20% in design and communications, 20% in photography, 20% listed other, which were some of those other categories I just mentioned. You could be counted in more than one category, but that gives you an idea. Theater, literature, media, and film all were clustered in the low teens.
Yeah, but actually those are the results of the participants in the survey.
Yeah.
We believe that, for example, one of the largest segments in Kenosha County is the musicians, but they probably didn't respond as
they were off composing music.
Exactly, they were composing or they were playing music.
So this is a self-selected group,
but
right?
Exactly, but the data that it came, the Amy from UW Extension put together was to try to put that into context, so we have more solid data,
right.
Not only the data that came from the responses from the participants, from the idea to get the responses is to have an. Kind of a, like Bob said, define yourself into the arts, yeah. And the other role of the questions was how we can make this better. How what do you need? What is good about the community? How we need to improve? That was kind of the basics. So, but the data shows that we are rising. That's actually, you look at the graphics, that was probably the key element on the graphic. The graphics shows a really high rising in the graphics in a positive way. We are having more participation, more economic development, more economic impact. So I believe that that's the important part of that.
Yes, it is. Let me get to that data in a moment. And let's finish the topic of the survey for a second in terms of some of the things they said they needed, because this group, which is just sort of a cross-section, but I wanted everyone to understand that it was a pretty broad cross-section of the creative community. They said they wanted a greater need for understanding about how to promote events. They wanted to be paid fair wages for the arts that's produced. They wanted to be seen a greater variety of artistic endeavors and works being supported. They welcome new ideas. And they said that they felt that the arts community could be more supported mm-hmm. by the community in general. Now, some of the things that they said were important to support the arts were listed in the bottom of this big poster of data you put together. And half of them said increasing community awareness was important.
Mm-hmm.
What do they mean by that, do you think? And there was discussion for about an hour Thursday night where you teased out more information about this. So you probably have a good idea of what people – when they say they want better community awareness, what are we talking about?
The main discussion is this. I believe that there are sometimes – different activities, especially cultural events, music, not everybody's aware that they are taking place. Somehow, even when we have some tools available to promote it, we still feel that there is the need to make a better job at promoting this event. So it has to be a community awareness. We need to know that this is happening. And sometimes there are so many things that I don't even know where to suggest to go. But at the same time, there is still some group of the population that believe that there is nothing happening in Kenosha. And I think that this is a disconnect between what is actually happening and how to communicate this to the rest of the audiences that we are trying to promote.
So we have a challenge in communicating here.
I can quote George Sugros. George is the executive director of the Wisconsin Arts Board. And he says that sometimes we have redundancies in the community that we need to try to solve and try to not only working together, but to give you an example, and I believe that that's what I mean. In order to promote an event, there are you have to go to 10 different calendars and different press releases. You need to pay for advertising, etc. Other communities, what they are doing is trying to find like a hub of information with all the information. It's captured and is disseminated to the rest of the community in a more structured way. Instead of everybody has a different marketing budget, there are other communities that put together a budget and everybody contributes to that budget to make a bigger impact instead of trying to see who has the bigger budget and trying to advertise the most. This is a way that the community is working together.
Yeah, I think that was one of the interesting things that came out of Jeremy Fougette's presentation, you know, and his company in Milwaukee is that communicating with people, especially young people, mm-hmm. have changed dramatically. You know, the old traditional ways of communicating people, the news, you know, and not that they've been supplanted, but there needs to be a new kind of way to communicate to people. And I think one of the big examples that he gave really struck home to me was that they wanted to try to get more people interested in the ballet in Milwaukee. You know, and a lot of people don't know they even have a ballet company in Milwaukee, and it's a very good one. And what they did is they put on an outdoor presentation. And they called it Naked Ballet, which I suppose drew a lot of people, although the people weren't naked, obviously. And they had 500 young people who came to see this event, which had it was just people dancing, no music, very non-traditional, and they sold 40 membership or season tickets to the Milwaukee Ballet out of that event. So you can see that to try to find non-traditional ways of communicating these things is really important in today's society. It just
they gave people a taste.
It gave people an example of what the ballet was all about, and it struck a chord with those people. And you know, his example is, you know, that younger people, they want to participate. You know, they want to be a part of this event.
An experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want to have an experience. Mm-hmm. It's not just sitting in a seat and watching somebody. You know, they want to feel that they're participating and providing some, you know, input. And I thought that was a wonderful example he gave. And some of the other events that they have scheduled to try to educate people and make people aware of what's going on in the arts community were just really unbelievable. I mean, the attendance was, you know, they were, some of them, they don't all work. He said, you know, they've had failures, but the vast majority of them do work. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really, that was very interesting.
The movement is not only to communicate through all the new channels of communication, but also to bring the arts into communities. Mm-hmm. Into the streets, and they called it Naked Ballet because it was ballet without walls, ballet without
music,
special costumes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ballet without a big orchestra, and people enjoyed it because they had never seen it before. I'm often struck. I happen to be a ballet and opera lover, and I'm struck by the number of times I've introduced people to both ballet and opera who have never seen that or modern dance, and they're convinced that they're not going to like it because they saw a spoof of it on South Park or something.
Yes.
And then they go and see the real deal, and they say, oh, my God, this makes most entertainment I go see look pretty tame and pretty boring once you've been to the opera and see the whole deal.
Well,
but you need to get a taste, and you need to understand what it's really about. And to do that in a location that is convenient for people makes sense. Maybe I'm at the market. Why don't we have opera at the market? Yeah. Why don't we have painters at the market? Well, we do sometimes. Why don't we have more things at the market and other outdoor venues? That's the kind of question that was being asked Thursday night, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, and it was, you know, amazing that, well, not to be on the dance issue, but, you know, people see dance on TV, they don't realize that it's a three-dimensional exercise. You know, I mean, it's a three-dimensional, and if you've never seen live performers, professional dance performers, television really doesn't do justice to that.
No, it doesn't. You can, it certainly doesn't. And it's very athletic.
Absolutely.
Exactly. You just mentioned something really important because it's the experience. You mentioned at the beginning Kenosha Fusion. Dan Miller, when he put together and Dan Miller was also a member of the City of Kenosha Commission on the Arts, was to try to have an intimate experience that you actually went to listen to the music and not to the bar to have a drink and listen to the music.
Right.
You can actually go to the space and enjoy and experience the music. I believe that that's really important. And the experience that we are offering is that. That's what it makes everything different. And you get it out of that setting and getting with the community, I think that's what is making a difference in Milwaukee in this particular example in Kenosha here.
Here's, I think, a good example. This morning we installed a new sculpture in Civic Center Park.
Now, this is Friday, yesterday morning, because we're recording this a day in advance. Don't go downtown looking for Bob.
It's there now. That grew really out of Francisco's work with the Mayor's Commission on the Arts, and they wanted to put something new there, and so they contacted our arts fund because we had the experience with the sculpture walk, and out of that grew the idea of having this sculpture there on a temporary basis and let the community participate in whether or not that should be made a permanent permanent sculpture. So on our Facebook page for Kenosha Community Foundation, the community can go in and make comments about it. Do you love it? Do you hate it? You want to see it there? You don't want to see it? You know, so at the end of a year, we'll have a pretty good idea of what the community's reaction to that sculpture is. And if it's a positive one, we'll take steps to make it a permanent installation. You know, but there's a perfect example of you accomplish two things. You get people thinking about what's good for the community and what they like and don't like. And maybe people who never thought about sculpture at all, you know, will take an interest just because they like to express their opinion about it. So, I mean, I think it's a great project.
It's a terrific idea.
And I thank Francisco for germinating that and for Tom Targos, actually, whose idea was to put that piece there. So, and the kids at Harborside Academy have just been, they were all out there today and excited about it. And, you know, they were great to
have. It's terrific to have involved them.
Yeah, well, they're really some of the inspiration because, of course, the park is adjacent to their school, and they wanted to see something there, and they wanted to see something that was, they had a theme that they wanted to follow, and we think we did that.
But also, I believe that will be the power of art communicating with the rest of the community because it's not a traditional sculpture. It's not something that you are going to see in a civic center park, but these are really contemporary modern interpretation of, and as a homage to the veterans. And I believe that creates a transition and is going to create this communication with the rest of the community. Some people are probably not going to like it, but I believe this is starting to have a really positive response, even with some of the members of the community that were not enthusiastic at the beginning.
Yeah, and it was really the Parks Commission and Scott Gordon, Alderman Gordon, who heads up this Parks Commission, they were very receptive, and because it's a very non-traditional thing you would think to see in a civic center park, but once they heard what the artist's inspiration was and what the feeling was, and they really got on board, and they, you know, this happened so fast. I mean, Francisco and I have been working on it a long time, but once it came together, it just happened. And so I encourage the community to go down there and take a look and register your opinion.
Well, I can't wait to get to Civic Center Park and look. And really, taking a picture of a sculpture is a wonderful thing, and I do it myself, but sculpture is meant to be seen.
It's a three-dimensional thing.
you really got to be there to appreciate it. I want to go back to some of the data. That two-hour meeting Thursday night really was packed with information. It was really one of the better meetings I've been to, and I've been to way too many meetings in my career.
Haven't we all?
The thing I wanted to talk about first was right now was the economic impact of the arts in Kenosha, to which we referred to earlier, Francisco. And consultant from the county extension, Amy Grail, pointed out that the data that she pulled from a variety of sources was very conservative. And I won't go into now on the air why it was conservatively done. But these numbers, if anything, we believe are conservative, probably underestimates rather than overestimates. Mm-hmm. We feel quite confident of that.
That's correct.
And the data is good through about 2011.
2011. This is the most current data that can actually be supported with. And there are some recent studies, but they are still not totally supported. This is something that is already accepted. Huh?
Some of the data, it takes time to become available to us and to be available at the county level, which is a pretty fine cut. But it's going back. 2011 wasn't that long ago. And at that time, there were 552 jobs that were counted. And the income for that labor income was the label they used, was $9.4 million. And the total income of the arts was $27.4 million. Industry sales with respect to the arts, that total income where it represents a multiplier factor, right?
Exactly.
And then the industry sales with respect to the arts and the creative community was $59 million. And listen up, all you politicians. The state and local government revenues in Kenosha County, including property taxes, sales taxes, and income taxes, and other miscellaneous taxes, was $1.2 million.
That's correct.
That's real money. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Bob?
I think it's amazing.
Were you surprised by that number?
I was a little bit, but I'd seen other figures that support those kinds of, you know, other surveys that have supported those kinds of numbers. And, you know, it's not only the actual, the actual dollar amount, but it's the ancillary benefit we get from just having artists in our community, you know, and having the kinds of things that they contribute, really, that they don't get paid for, you know. So it's a double-barreled effect there.
Yeah, some of the contributions from this conversation are kind of we're starting to put together. But I believe that the transition is this. For a long time, the arts have been considered like a philanthropic enterprise, that you need to support the arts as a way to make you feel good, as get a tax deduction, something like that, to keep it simple.
Treat it like a charity.
Exactly. But with these numbers, I believe how we're trying to switch the conversation. The arts are helping the community to get back into a really nice evolving into economic development on the rise. That's one of the reasons why we call it the Project Kenosha Rising. We never used that language before. The way that we were referring was the arts, without looking at how this is important, why this is not only making everything look better, but it brings higher quality of life. It's going to create a vibrant community that will make easier to attract new employees for the big companies. And is now trying we are trying to demonstrate that this is viable, that this is money there that is coming into the community. And that's something that we usually don't look at the arts in that way.
But outsiders thinking of moving to Kenosha and companies thinking of moving to Kenosha do look at those things.
Exactly.
Because quality of life has a lot to do with whether people of any age are going to move here. Isn't that right?
Years ago when we I was involved with the planning for the Southport Marina, and I went to a conference, and they said, you know, the actual decision as to where business locates is made by very few people. You know, it's the people who own the business or who manage the business, and one of the things that they look at is the quality of life in the community they're thinking about going to. What is the nature of their central business district? What are the cultural offerings? And certainly Kenosha has those with our three colleges here. So it's an important to have a vibrant cultural community, and that's the project that actually, just to put in another plug, Francisco and I are working now on to try to make the Kenosha Creative Space a reality. That would be the rehab of the old Kresge's building downtown Kenosha, and if that comes about the way we've got it planned, that could be a real catalyst for that whole end of the downtown area there, and with the additional residential settings that are happening downtown. I mean, there's more and more people living down there. It could be a real catalyst for rebirth of that area, the downtown.
And there's a real demand by artists, painters, sculptors, mm-hmm. and writers for spaces for doing their creative work in our community. And there's a dearth of those.
Yeah.
There are some charts on this big poster. All of this is online at KenoshaRising.com. And we're so grateful to my guests today, Francisco Loyola, from Expose Kenosha, and involved so much with the arts in Kenosha. We just take the rest of the program to list all your involvement with the arts in Kenosha, Francisco. And Bob Schneider, the executive of the Kenosha Community Foundation. Going from that data that's available from the National Establishment Times series that the Kenosha Extension representative presented, between 1989 and 2011, 1989 to 2011, business establishments grew from 44 to 99. So it was over 125% increase. Between 89 and 2011, jobs in the creative community grew from 91 to 359.
Right.
359, an increase of nearly 300%. And then in that 89 to 2011 period, sales, you know, what was sold, which is a good economic measure, if anything, went from $7.5 million in 89 to $15 million in 2011, an increase of 100%. That has to really open people's eyes to the importance of the arts and creative class in a community, just in simple economic terms, let alone the quality issues, wouldn't you say, Bob?
Well, yeah, it does. And I think part of the sales pitch we're making, I keep coming back to the Kenosha creative space, is the economic benefits of this. You know, I mean, they're pretty obvious. And, you know, we're going to try to sell this project to business people and to companies that are not only locating here but are thinking of locating here. And these kinds of numbers, I think, have a big, big impact on whether we'll be a success for that and not.
Well, the fact that Kenosha is affordable and a pleasant place to live should mm-hmm. have a big impact. We met last night a couple from where I used to live on the north side of Chicago, Rogers Park, which is mm-hmm. actually a rather lovely neighborhood for Chicago. And they are very seriously considering coming to Kenosha. When they heard what was going on last night and they heard about the 16th Street lofts in Racine, they were just stunned. And the development you're talking about downtown, they said, you know what, we want to come back here and visit more of these spaces. We are much more interested in coming to Kenosha now than we were yesterday. And we asked people in your survey of local creatives why they like being in Kenosha. And about half of them said it's because of personal networks, family, friends, they're comfortable here. And a lot of people are just simply place-bound for other reasons. 27% actually nailed cost of living. One was quoted as saying, I'm able to make a living based on the coastal cost of living, but spend it at a Midwest level, which is pretty cool. It must be selling well.
Yeah.
18% said they were happy because there was an existing arts community, and 10% mentioned amenities, especially the two universities and where we're sitting today, Gateway Technical College. And 20% of the respondents said all of those things, their personal networks, the affordable cost of living, the existing arts community, and the available amenities we already have mm-hmm. are why they came here or why they stay here. Those are exceptionally important things. Francisco, when you talk to the business leaders of our community and the civic and political leaders of our community, how are they reacting to this news?
Well, I think you're going to put me on the spot, but no, I believe that there is a transition right now. I think that there is not a transition not only in with the politicians and the leaders. It's a general transition. I'm going to put it related to with an example. I had the opportunity to go with Bob last week to visit the Snap-on Museum. And one of the questions that we asked was there is still some manufacturing going on right here in Kenosha. The answer was no. The answer was what we manufacture in Kenosha is ideas and innovation.
They manufacture ideas and innovation in Kenosha.
And I believe that's exactly what is happening in Kenosha. The factory is not going to come back. Everybody knows AMC is not coming back. Chrysler is not coming back. Kenosha, in an organic way and in a grassroots way, has created a transition into the new creative economy, that's what it's called, and it has happening even with the help of the politicians or without the help of the politicians. This is happening, and it's continuing to happen. I believe that they are paying attention. I believe that they are discovering this, and one of the goals from this study and this project is to see how this can be presented in a way that they can be easy to understand. And the best way to do it is just look at the numbers, the taxes that have been paid by the activities for the artists, the involvement of the artists, and all the different. And I would say, let me rephrase this. The artists in Kenosha, musicians, visual arts, etc., are always taken for granted that they are going to be participating in everything that is going to help the community. And I believe that this is changing a little bit now. We need to do it and do it in a different way. But we are participating in this. So I think that to answer your question is this. The role of the leaders is to pay attention and find ways to support this. And I believe that this is starting to happen. But it's still going to take some time.
Bob?
Yeah, well, I think probably some of it could be seen. I'm getting the feeling anyways that, you know, the Kenosha Business Alliance, the CABA, you know, which has been our driving economic development in Kenosha for some time now and has been very, very effective in terms of bringing industry and jobs into Kenosha. You know, they're starting to pay attention a little bit more to the creative community. You know, that there's a, you know, they've been involved with the development of this Y-Link group, you know, which is young professionals mm-hmm. that provides people. And they've, you know, I think there's a, you know, that there's more to economic development than just, you know, bringing industry with jobs, that it's a, you know, that the creative community can be a big impact on our overall economy, and so I think that's encouraging that they're starting to look at that as something that they need to be involved in, and that's very encouraging.
Very interesting points, fellows. The fact that we are in a transition moment, and I think that I might even say that transition moment applies to what's going on in the minds of us as members of the creative class, writers, mm-hmm. artists, sculptors, designers, architects. Because we're going to be at a point where we have to think of economic development in a much, much broader way. The idea of having a vibrant baseball team in town is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thrilled with how that's going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. New businesses, new business parks, new university courses, new training at Gateway Technical College, new partnerships with local, national, regional industries. These are all part of economic development. And now people are starting to understand that the creative class is also an avenue. But I don't think that everyone in the creative class understands that either. I think that we need to think of ourselves that way and see ourselves that way as well. But we are in a transitional period. It's a very interesting way to approach that. And mm-hmm. I think that we are on an upward trajectory, aren't we?
I think so, too. Yeah. Yesterday, one of the comments that was made is our fault as an artist that we don't speak this language, that we don't actually try to promote our art as a business and try to make it more effective. So I believe that this is going to help us.
I'd like to leave our listeners with some of the things that were talked about, both in the survey and Thursday night at the open meeting, about how to increase the arts economy. And there were four specific things that seemed to be very important. The top was to integrate the arts into community economic development. We were just talking about that. The second was to provide artistic spaces, and the old Kresge space could become that in Kenosha, and that's a great location. The third was build coalitions, networks, and exchanges. People were talking about, you know, galleries were talking about putting nicely printed stuff about what's going on in the community from the arts organizations into the bags of customers if they were supplied with something they could stuff. Mm-hmm. And other organizations were talking about sharing and promoting each other, which I thought was very exciting. And then the fourth item was to bundle arts and design with entertainment and cultural tourism and be more of a unified approach. Now, Francisco, what can people do to get involved? How do they contact KenoshaRising.com?
Probably the best way to do is just go to the website, get the information. There is a contact form that you can submit your contact information. Amy and Francisco are already working on the follow-up because we are going to need to put in order all the answers and continue with present what was the discoveries at last night at Thursday's event. So I believe that we are just starting in the process. This is going to be a process that we need help.
There will be another meeting. There will be another meeting, and there will be more reports of what happened Thursday night.
Exactly.
You are going to move forward with specific steps, aren't you?
Yeah. The ones that we identify because there are some of the items that you already mentioned, but we need to identify it and put it in a more like action items list. So this is what it needs to happen, and that probably will be the next step.
Are you excited, Bob?
Oh, yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I'm a native Kenoshan, you know, and I've seen the community change from a manufacturing community, which was great in the 50s and 60s and 70s, but we're living in a new age now, and we've got to take advantage of what that age offers.
I want to thank my guests today. This has been most interesting to catch up on what's happening right at the moment in the arts community with Kenosha Rising. Bob Schneider, the executive director of the Kenosha Community Foundation, and Francisco Loyola, arts entrepreneur, exposed Kenosha entrepreneur. And I don't know what we do. What would we do without Francisco giving us the needle and keeping pushing us forward? We appreciate all you do too, and so many others in the community were in the room
right.
Thursday
mm-hmm.
night. There was like the glitterati of the arts community were there last night.
Your glitterati,
and it was a wonderful thing to see everybody
really
pulling together and really wanting to see this thing work and to be successful. So I invite our listeners to get informed and get involved. Go to KenoshaRising.com. Read up on all this information. Find out what's going on. And think about how you can expose yourself to more of the arts in Kenosha and involve your friends and neighbors. For Community Matters, this is Len Iaquinta saying, get informed and get involved. Good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. 24/7 jazz on WGTD HD2. Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more, airing right now on HD2. For more information, go to WGTD.org or dial 564-3030.